paper, following what Eliodrigo told us and following what Mr. Schiavone told us, it is my very great pleasure to start this session together with you. I'll make some remarks, and I hope we'll be able to discuss these remarks together at the end of this session, but also during these 3 days that we're going to spend together. We would like to discuss today a model, a pathway, which is citizen and patient-centered, the critically ill patient. This is our focus. A citizen, a patient, enters a process, a healthcare process. In this process, nurses make their contribution in order to restore the patient's health. This is our daily experience. This is something we do and see in our daily experience. I'd like to talk about this issue referring to the European situation, because we have prepared and sent a questionnaire. Let's talk about the environment in which we work. This environment has changed over time, and the healthcare demand has changed as compared, for instance, to the situation 10 years ago. Citizens and patients demand respect in terms of their health rights. Patients and citizens are more conscious about their health and their rights. Then in the care process, citizens or patients are increasingly involved together with healthcare operators and caregivers. If we watch TV programs, it's very often that we see programs or shows which are focusing on health and health problems. There are healthcare experts, doctors, nurses who are invited. That's why citizens are becoming more and more conscious about their health rights. What kind of nurses are necessary to work in this new environment? Well, first of all, nurses who are able to identify health needs, both individual and collective. This is clearly defined in our professional profile. We've got to identify healthcare needs, and we've got to identify specific objectives in order to meet those needs. We work every day focusing on objectives. We work by objectives. Together with patients, we identify the actions to be taken to meet patients' health needs. Of course, each nurse identifies specific objectives according to the unit or ward in which this nurse works. It is also important to identify our specific duties and roles. Law 42 of 1999 is very important from this point of view, because it is related to our code of conduct. Our code of conduct specifies our duties. Our code of conduct has been written by nurses, for nurses, and it emphasizes the fact that nurses play a major role, the role of advocacy, that is ensuring that patients' rights are respected and met. This within budgetary constraints, of course, and you know that it's very difficult to stick to this very complex financial constraints without forgetting that we've got to improve our professional profile and our skills. Thanks to our code of conduct, we clearly know which are our roles and functions. Nursing care is based on objectives, and these objectives are key in order to individualize healthcare, because we know that each patient, each person is unique. If you go back to the first slide I showed you, it is also important to understand that we've got to reconsider and question the organization in order to be able to provide custom-made healthcare. So as professionals, we are working, we have got to work in order to modify the organization in which we work in order to support patients' rights. Therefore, professional nurses must have a basic training. And as our president told us, we also need a specific clinical education. That's why clinical masters are extremely important, because professional nurses are educated in order to have a global vision. And this vision is crucial in our profession, because we've got to have a global vision to identify healthcare objectives. A master course is not our final objective. It's a starting point, because ongoing education is necessary in order to be continuously updated. We know that the environment in which we work continuously changes. Scientific evidence evolves too. That's why we do need ongoing training. This is our analysis concerning Italy and some other European countries which have answered our questions. This comparison helps us understanding what is the European scenario following the signature of the European Constitution. We sent our questionnaire, including 22 items, to people representing the European Federation in France, Italy, and the Netherlands. As is in order to have a sort of snapshot of the situation in each country. And Spain, too, was included. So France, Italy, the Netherlands, and Spain. We tried, of course, to identify the major issues concerning our profession and our activity. Of course, questionnaires do have some limitations. It's not very easy to perform an accurate analysis, but it's possible, thanks to the questionnaire, to obtain, as I previously told you, a snapshot of the general situation. First of all, we identified on the features characterizing nurses in each country, then we focused on first aid provided to the patient outside the hospital, then the third stage is the hospitalization, and then healthcare provided in the first 24 hours in the ICU. We have chosen four keywords, that is, first of all, the regulation or laws and rules concerning our profession in each country. Then the level of autonomy or independence of professional nurses in the critical care setting, then which instruments are used to identify the patient's health needs, which instruments have to be used to meet patient's needs, and then the team, the professional team taking care of the patient, how is it composed? So let's talk about the general scenario. In these four countries, there are no specific regulations concerning critical care nurses. There's one single exception, that is Spain. In Spain, there's a bill which has not yet been adopted. But this bill has been designed by the General Council of Nurses together with the Health Department. And this in order to identify the specific profile of critical care nurses. As to autonomy of nurses, well, nurses are thoroughly autonomous in terms of nursing care. Though this autonomy is limited when compared to the autonomy of other professions, because of course each profession or each professional profile in the critical care setting has to work together and make its own contribution. That's why autonomy can be considered partial. And then instruments used are guidelines, nursing models, and then in Spain and the Netherlands there are specific rules established by some hospitals, because our Dutch and Spanish colleagues told us that in some cases hospitals have got specific protocols concerning nursing. In this slide you can see how activities are managed in the critical care setting. You can see Italy, France, Spain and the Netherlands. And there's a major role which is clearly emphasized, the role of the team leader. If we consider what happens, for instance, in a trauma center, the team leader is a doctor, generally speaking. But in some cases, this role, the role of team leader in terms of organization and operational models, the team leaders may be nurses, because nurses have a global perception of the situation. As to first aid outside the hospital, the organization of first aid is generally designed at the national level. In Italy, we got number 118, it's the emergency number, but then at the regional level, there are specific functions which are managed by regional structures. In Spain, we got an integrated system, and according to the critical event which takes place, there is a local organization first, and according to the complexity of the event, the organization is structured at the regional and the national level. you can see that the healthcare team is a mixed team with doctors and nurses. In Italy, very often there are voluntary workers, for instance, coming from the Red Cross, who are in charge of first aid, while in France or Spain, rescuers are professional healthcare workers coming from, for instance, from the fire fighters group or association. In terms of autonomy, of course, this autonomy is partial because there are other professions, other professional profiles which are involved in first aid. From the regulations point of view, there are national guidelines and protocols which define how first aid services are organized. Then let's move on to the following stage, that is hospitalization, how competencies and responsibilities are managed. Well, there are national laws, national guidelines, and then there are protocols which are defined by each specific healthcare team. In terms of autonomy, well, referring to nursing care, well, nurses are thoroughly autonomous, but their autonomy is limited because they also interact with other professional profiles. In Italy, nurses are in charge of managing hospitalizations. They identify priority levels. Well, this system is mixed in the other countries, France, Spain, and the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, for instance, according to the severity of the patient, the person in charge may be either the doctor or the nurse. If the patient is severe, then the doctor is in charge, otherwise the nurse is in charge. Then during the hospitalization, doctors, nurses work together in order to decide how critical events must be managed. So this is the Italian situation, doctors, nurses and technical staff. While in France, Spain and the Netherlands, generally speaking, doctors and nurses work together in order to decide how the patient, how and where the patient is to be hospitalized. As to healthcare in the first 24 hours, you can see on the slide that the team is composed of doctors, nurses, and technical staff. Their autonomy is complete in terms of healthcare. Their instruments are represented by guidelines, protocols, and nursing models. And this situation is shared by the four countries involved in our study, in our analysis. These are our conclusions. Healthcare and organizational models in Italy are comparable to the standards in the other European countries who have studied. And from some points of view, we have to say that we have achieved considerable progress in Italy. And I think that at the European level, our role, the role of our model is very important. Of course, we all need instruments to share at the European level, and this in order to improve the healthcare standards. And I'm sure that a continuous exchange of knowledge and experiences could be extremely helpful in order to improve healthcare standards. Then it is also important to adopt a consistent approach at the European level when managing critical events. But this is not easy to achieve. That's why the European Federation carried out a survey last year on the educational pathways in many European countries, and this survey is extremely important in order to understand which are the shortcomings at the European level, because it is fundamental to define some guidelines which should represent a framework in order to have a consistent training model in Europe. So our training must be consistent with our objectives. Our practice must be based on scientific evidence. These two aspects are key in order to increase our autonomy, to improve our responsibility, and to develop our skills and competencies, and this in order to meet patients' needs. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much, Fabrizio, for your contribution, because you have clearly defined